hey, before we get started with the show today, New Media Expo is right around the corner, and I'm going to need a couple helpers to make sure that speakers are hitting their deadlines, make sure that the record button is pushed, things like this. I've done this in the past. It's not a big deal, and unfortunately, it pays nothing, but if you'd like to help me out, I need a small crew, and if that is you, email me, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, and I thank you in advance. Today on episode number 456, we're going to talk about how do you take phone calls on your podcast? I get this question about once every 7 to 10 days. We've got it because of my podcast story, got a lot of podcast rewinds going on, and we're going to get jagged. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, I've been helping people understand technology for over 20 years. That's right. And I would love to help you massage your message, help you tackle the technology, help you flatten the learning curve, and get you on the road to pain-free podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you'd like to contact me, just go out schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And if you're new, I'm really, really, really glad you're here. This is going to be a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about taking phone calls on your podcast. But I always like to start off with kind of these because of my podcast stories. And we've got one. We have a couple here. And we're going to start off with one from Mark Marin. Now, he didn't send this in. I'm doing it for Mark, but check this out. Here he was. He heard the news and maybe he could possibly get this big kind of star. And finally, sure enough, he got him to call in as a phone call. Check this out.
Hello?
Hello?
Mick.
Hi, Mark.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm thrilled to talk to you. I'm going out of my mind. I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, my God, is it going to happen? And there you are.
I'm sorry I'm late. I got the times wrong.
I got the times wrong. Right. The thing I love about Mick Jagger, he's one of those rockers like, I know schoolboy doing all right. He doesn't really add the consonants at the end of the words. It's great. But here, Mark Maron, huge Stones fan. Huge Stones fan. And he gets to talk to Mick Jagger. And what's great about this is Mark Maron. This is a guy that gets more press about his podcast. He's got his own TV show. Speaking of that, actually, before we get to the TV show, but it's fun to listen to Mark get all giddy. And that's one of the great things. We have another because of my podcast story, but I thought I would play this. This is from the Maron TV show. I'm just going to play like a little itty bitty clip. And of course, this is on the IFC network, and you can find Mark at WTFpod.com. So if you have Netflix, go find, it's just called Maron, M-A-R-O-N. You have to watch the episode. It's from season 2, episode 10. It's called Radio Cowboy. And the idea here is Mark is on a morning radio show, probably Binky and the Wiz. And they're playing the sound effects. They're kind of making fun of the fact that he does his podcast in a garage, and I love this clip.
Well, at least I get to choose my advertisers. Who are you pretending to believe in today? A check cashing place or a website for dudes who cheat on their wives?
Mark, let's get real.
Okay.
You do the show out of your garage.
Well, it was my garage, but now it's, you know.
Hey, Jose, could you cut the front yard? I'm trying to interview Carrot Top.
It's cute.
Oh, the neighbor's dog got out under the fence again. I hope she doesn't run into that garbage truck.
Oh, I forgot to put my cans out, Carrot Top. Do you mind?
Yeah. You know what? You guys can goof all you want, but you're making fart noises on the Titanic. You think anybody is entertained by this? Maybe before there were choices, but you're losing listeners every day. This isn't interesting. It's not engaging. This is a hostage situation for people who don't have a smartphone. And your format restrictions are ridiculous. Why do you feel compelled to give out the time every 5 minutes? All cars have the time. All computer screens have the time on them. There are clocks everywhere. Yet with OCD-like precision, you are compelled to always give out the time. It's horrendous.
It's 8:25.
So again, that's on Netflix. The show is called Marin. Pretty accurate thing, man. I love the Titanic reference there. But getting back to because of my podcast, I love these stories. If you can answer this question, because of my podcast blank, if there's a door that was open, you know, here, if it wasn't for his podcast, there's no way that Marc Maron would have been interviewing Mick Jagger, right? And this is probably one of the, and I love this. Some people are always like, I don't know how long I should talk. Hey, just answer the question. And Jeff Steinman answered this question, probably one of the longest because of my podcast answers. And it just goes on and just explains it. I love it because, I mean, I can sit here all day and tell you guys to start a podcast. But I love this because, like, here's why. And so here is Jeff explaining. Take it away, Jeff.
Hello, this is Jeff Steinman, and I'm here to answer the question today of, because of my podcast, what has happened? And I like to call myself kind of like an accidental podcaster. I never set out and said, I want to be a podcaster. I want to do a podcast. What happened for me was I actually wrote my book called How to Quit Working. It came out about 2 years ago in April of 2013, and I knew that I needed to do something to market and promote the book. And I said, okay, well, what are all the different things I could do? And I started putting a lot of different things in place. And I think as many folks do when they get into marketing business type stuff, they tend to try a lot of different things. And I guess that's good because you learn a lot and you get to experiment with different things. But what we tend to not do is we don't tend to follow through with all of the things that we try and that we start to do. And I was certainly no different. What I did was I tried a lot of different things, and podcasting was one of them. I decided that I wanted to do a weekly podcast, and I thought that I would interview people who had started successful businesses, which is what my book is about. So I started this podcast, and I did, in retrospect, I now know I did a really terrible job of promoting the podcast. I did a really terrible job of producing the podcast. I had some audio issues. In the beginning, my MP3 files were just massive. They were like filling up people's iPods. Unfortunately, I had a listener email me and tell me what I needed to do to make the file sizes more reasonable. But I did everything wrong. I didn't really do much right in the beginning of podcasting, except for, I guess I would say, two things that I did right. The first thing that I did right was I stuck with it for a very, very long time. In the podcasting world, this is coming up on my 2-year anniversary, and that's a pretty long time for a podcast. When you look at podcasts in iTunes, there's so many that don't even make it past 10 or 12 episodes.
And I'm going to interrupt Jeff here to make this point. I just did the math on this. So many people go, yeah, but John Lee Dumas was making, and for the record, again, I'm a huge John Lee Dumas fan. Just let's do the math. John started out, had his first sponsor at 6 months. John, 6 months of doing a daily show. Let's do the math. 30 shows a day, 30 shows a month times six. That's 180 shows. 180 shows, divide that by, if you'd normally do a weekly show, right? 52 episodes a year, that's 3.46 years it would take to do 180 shows. Just another thought. Back to Jeff.
We're coming up on 200 episodes, and at 2 years, it's been really a lot of fun. But I got to say, of all the things that I've learned, and there's so many things that I've learned that I would do differently if I had to do over again. And the biggest thing that I am so glad that I did, and in retrospect, the most important thing, was sticking with it and being consistent and consistently creating that podcast every single week. And I can proudly say that I have actually increased the frequency of my podcast to 3 times a week from the 1 that it was originally. But I can also say that even with that increase in frequency, I have never, ever missed an episode. There has never been 1 week where any episode was missed. So consistency was such an important thing. And I think that listeners understand that you're serious, and they really appreciate that consistency, and that they know you're not messing around when you're consistent. So I think that's been really good. And we've just seen tremendous growth. And a couple of the other things that are so cool about podcasting and have made me so excited about it. Oh, and by the way, you know, I said that I started podcasting as one of many things that I was doing to promote my book. Well, my podcast and book have really turned into a much larger business now. And the podcast is driving a majority of the traffic. It probably drives 60 to 70% of our business. And the remaining business that isn't directly driven by the podcast, folks listen to the podcast, even if they're not directly, they don't directly discover how to quit working through the podcast. They listen to the podcast, which further, creates more affinity for the brand and gets them to know me and know, our coaching program and what we're all about.
And I'm going to jump in here again, Jeff. In a future episode, probably in 2 weeks, Brandon Turner is a guy that, again, is using a podcast to show his business. And he explains how 90% of his customers listen to his podcast. That's how they found him. It's amazing. Back to Jeff.
So it's huge. It's absolutely huge. I hate to think what would happen to How to Quit Working if we didn't have the podcast. So it's really become the centerpiece of the brand. So, but back to a couple of the other things that I have gotten out of podcasting is the one of them that I was not expecting at all was I've gotten really good at interviewing people, and there really is an art to interviewing and an art to drawing the information out of the guest that you want to get from the guest, an art to making the guest feel comfortable. There's an art to the way you respond to the things that they say, and it's a skill that I never even really thought about before I started doing the podcast. I just said, okay, well, I'm doing a podcast, and the first couple of episodes, I wrote down 10 questions, and I just ran through the 10 questions that I asked each guest. And after that, I found that I could create a much better interview if I just relaxed, threw away the list of questions, and just sort of let them flow. And I still have a couple of stock questions that I will go back to occasionally. And that's kind of if maybe the flow isn't going kind of how I want, I can kind of use those kind of like training wheels questions as a something to just grab onto that I can always go to. It's like a go-to kind of a thing. But I think I've gotten really good at interviewing people, and I've gotten a lot of really great compliments from guests. And that's a skill that I never even thought about having or developing, but it's one that I'm really thankful that I have, because the amount of information that you can get from just being able to talk to someone and extract good nuggets of information from them is hugely, hugely valuable. As I mentioned, it's driven business. It has become really the primary centerpiece of the How to Quit Working business, and just really surprised me that this thing that was supposed to just be one of many things that I was doing has really become this whole centerpiece of the business. So when folks come to us, whether they're looking for help or products or services or buyers of the book or whatever it may be, when we hear from folks, what we hear from them is that, yeah, we know who you are. We know about How to Quit Working from listening to the show, because we've been listening to you. We have listeners that have been listening since day one, which is really cool. But it's gotten folks to know who we are and feel like they know us. I've had listeners who were coming through St. Louis, and we've gone out and got a beer, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of get to know people who have gotten to know me over the years. And so it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a great business driver. But I would have to say the number one thing that I have gotten out of podcasting is the relationships. I've built some amazing relationships with some really cool people. I've gotten the chance to interview people like Brian Scudamore, the founder of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Debbie Travis of The Painted House and of kind of the HGTV fame, and Dan Pena, who's a very successful entrepreneur from California who now lives in Scotland. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. Just really have gotten to meet a lot of really great people. And while those are some of the more well-known people that I've spoken to, really, I think some of the more rewarding things has been the lesser well-known people that I've gotten to know. Because obviously when you have a podcast, if it's interview based, you're going to interview people on a topic that you're interested in. And I would consider a handful of the folks that I've interviewed to be friends. We've gone on to stay in touch and help each other in our businesses. And, you know, just from a strategic standpoint, when I need help with something, for example, last summer, my book, How to Quit Working on Amazon, was getting really close to hitting number one in the job hunting and careers category. And I said, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity. So I fired off a couple of emails to former guests that had been on the show that I had maintained relationships with. You can't do this with just anybody. You have to maintain the relationship and you have to keep in touch. But because I had done that and because I had developed and nurtured these relationships, there was a large number of people from the show who were willing to post to their social media, to email to their lists, and to otherwise maybe mention on their podcast, but otherwise help me to get the word out about my book and help me get it successfully to number one on Amazon in the job hunting and careers category. So that was really cool. I think that relationships by far are the number one thing that I have gotten out of podcasting, but definitely it's been great for business. It's been a great skill to develop, learning how to interview people. You know, and I think there's a lot of technical stuff that you have to learn, but I think there's great resources out there to help you do that. And it certainly is something that has been worth it for me and that I highly recommend to anybody who's thinking about doing it.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. You can find him at howtoquitworking.com. I love the fact that it's the relationships. And really, many times it's those, you know, we talk about monetizing. You don't have to monetize your podcast, but one of the ways you can do that is through relationships. And I just love the fact that it you can see the connection that you're making with people. So, Jeff, thank you so much for that.
In case you missed it, it's time for a podcast rewind.
All right. I was on Podcasters Group Therapy, episode number 8. One of my favorite podcasts recently. And here's why. You ready? I mean, Nick and Corey are two people that I've known for a long time. I know Corey's wife, Tawny, from Mommy's Cocktail Hour. And but that's, to me, maybe because I'm used to Nick and Corey, having a female and a male, not just all female and not just all male, but a mix talking about podcasting. Here again, it's kind of new. They're not doing it 5 days a week. As well, people have done that. But this, I don't think there's been one that's had, I take that back, The Feed. The Feed has Rob and Elsie. Okay, but this has three people. There we go. It's still different. But I like the fact that we're getting another female point of view with that. And so a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, that I threw this little, I'm not going to play the whole clip, but if you didn't hear it, I made a joke about how you should stand out because every single newscast in America.
You're listening to every single newscast in America.
Hello and welcome to the news. I'm your host, Brock Baxter.
Well, I was really worried about putting that clip, and I talked about that on Podcasters Group Therapy. It always scares me. I just did a thing on a couple episodes ago where I made fun of every single newscast in America. It was just every...
And it was brilliant!
And I really wet my pants. Because I played it for my wife. Now, realize my wife sees me all the time, and she's kind of like, oh, God, are you going to do this? You know, she's kind of heard it, been there, done that. And so I played it for her in the car, and not a giggle. I got down, and she goes, that's cute. And I was like, oh, wow. And so I was kind of like, do I put it in? Do I not? And every time I played it, there was a segment where I was doing this kind of grumpy old man on the weather. Everything you learn, you can get from your phone. And every time I heard that, I laughed. And I'm like, all right, I'm making me laugh. So somebody else is going to giggle. And so I put right. it in the show. So, and so every now and then I try to throw something in that's a little left of center that still makes a point. It's always the point of, you know, what am I talking about? And is this going to drive that point home and educate people. And so the really cool show, Podcasters Group Therapy. And I was also on Timelines of Success. This is Bill Conrad. And I forget, episode 102 of Timelines of Success. And we were talking about hobbyists.
Explain the culture of the hobbyist podcaster.
The hobbyist is many times, again, an older person
depending on what you want to define as older.
Well, what I call is baby boomers. Baby boomers were born up to 1964.
Now, this can be... Yeah.
15 above.
Okay, so this is... And it doesn't have to be this person, but I see a lot of people in this category where the kids have moved out, right? They're old, they're on their own now, or they're gone. You got an empty nest, and you've got a lot of experience under your belt. You've had a really interesting life, and you see, in many cases, people doing things. They're like, man, you're going the wrong way. And a lot of times it's born out of a heart to want to help people. And so they'll start a podcast and start sharing their story, start sharing their experience, and helping people through their podcast. That's what I see a lot of people saying, look, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And it's not so much in a condescending way. It's, again, it's through a spirit of helping people. So in many cases, the hobbyist podcast is something that they're not really in it for the money. Although if you can make some money, that'd be great. But in the same way, I heard a quote from Rob Walsh, who's from a media hosting company called Libsyn. And he said, it's kind of funny. If you see somebody flying like an airplane, you know, have those really expensive airplanes that are radio controlled. You don't walk up to that guy and go, so how much money are you making flying your airplane? Because that's his hobby.
That's good.
So I always say, you don't have to make money with your podcast. Sure, it's nice. Who doesn't want to make a little money? But you can just do it as a hobby. And speaking of that, if you haven't, if you're thinking of doing that, if you're like, I don't know if I want to spend, you know, a couple $100 on a microphone and then you got the whole website thing, check out podcastingforfree.com. The course is now available and there's a companion podcast to that as well. And it's all for the person that is doing, they just want to test the waters of podcasting. If that's you, check out Podcasting for Free. The last little clip I want to play is from another show I do with the one, the only, Eric K. Johnson, better known as the Podcast Talent Coach. And we interviewed the Bear Arms podcast about the gun show. And I always like to answer questions on this show. And this was a question. I went, you know what? We should play that in this show. So here is a clip from the podcast review show.
You know, for us to get into some of our topics, like it takes a while for us to get heated up. Do we need to have that conversation to get us into the topic before we start recording, or is that something I should work on maybe cutting it in post? Because I feel like without having like that warm up part, we're not going to get to the good stuff.
Well, when I work with podcasters on getting into the subject matter, especially with co-hosts, because you want your co-host to know exactly where you're going with your topic, I always highly recommend you lead with an intriguing introduction. What is it that, and my coach always told me, what is it you want to make the audience laugh at, marvel at, or better understand? And Dave always says something like, what do you want to make them laugh at, cry at? What do you recommend, Dave?
You should make them laugh, cry, think, groan, educate, or entertain.
There you go. So when you go to introduce a subject and you say, okay, what do I want to make my audience laugh at, marvel at, or better understand? And you, okay, and we're going to talk about victims of gun laws. I want to make people understand that this lady who's been victimized by a crime that just happened to include a gun is hypocritical because the day before they went out and purchased their own gun. And that's what I want to make people marvel at is, you know, this whole fact. And we're going to start into it using the Gabby Giffords story. So we'll explain when Gabby Giffords got shot, here's what happened. And now, you know, this lady over here who was a victim of a crime, and they have to call it a victim of a gun crime for some reason. Yet before this, she was this, she went out and purchased a gun, and you get into it. You start with the story right there. You lead with your passion, and that will instantly spark the debate and the discussion. If you start with the thing you hope to make the audience better understand, that will spark your passion and your discussion right there. And sparks will fly from the get-go, and it won't take you time to get heated up because you're starting right where it hurts the most, right where your heart bleeds. That's where you want to start.
So start with the story, lead with your passion, and that will get you right into it. And what I'm going to talk about now, that's right, phone calls, taking phone calls. What a treat. those of you that are a regular listener to the Ask the Podcast Coach, you're like, hey, I know that jingle. And I probably, I'm going to say every 7 to 10 days, get a call about a, and I've talked about some of this before, so a little bit of this is going to be a repeat, but I'm going to go a little deeper dive into this. But what if I do want to take phone calls on my podcast? Well, because I do every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And of course, you can find the time shifted version in iTunes. But here's my first words of wisdom about taking phone calls and doing a live podcast. You ready? Don't. Just don't. So many people want to start a podcast and go live and have your audience call in. Can I share a little secret with you? You don't have an audience yet, so nobody's going to call in. And when you add this element of live call-ins and chat rooms, it's a lot. It makes it a little harder. And I just want to share a little story with you. Many moons ago, I worked in the copier industry, and I was a trainer. I was training people how to run their equipment, and I did all sorts of things. I trained newspapers how to run scanners. But at one point, I was rolling out a program called Goldmine. It was this contact relation software. And it in itself had a fairly steep learning curve. And in the middle of it, and this tells you how long ago it was, Palm Pilots came out. There was a company called Palm. Are they even still around? Anyway, Palm Pilots came out. It was kind of like a pre-iPhone kind of thing. And the salespeople wanted to do they wanted to run Goldmine on their Palm Pilot. This is an absolute painting with peanut butter situation. Can you do it? Yeah. Should you do it? Probably not. And so sure enough, I found a way through synchronization hell that you could run Goldmine on a Palm Pilot. It made it so hard because you're playing with this little stylus. And so consequently, halfway through that rollout, even though I did exactly what they wanted me to do, they went, this is too hard. And so consequently, this, yeah, we're not going to use Goldmine. And because they weren't going to use Goldmine, that was my job, was to roll out Goldmine. They said, what are we going to do with Dave? And even though I'd won Employee of the Year for the second time, 6 months prior to that, I got let go because they quit. They abandoned Goldmine and I had nothing to do. Such is the life of a trainer. But it was the case of by adding more and more stuff, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And for these people who are just trying to learn Goldmine, which on its own was a bit of a mouthful, to try to learn Goldmine on a Palm Pilot made it ridiculously hard. So when you're trying to launch a podcast and you want to add live stuff to it, it makes it really, 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 really challenging for a brand new person. You're still trying to get your microphone to sound right, and now you're mixing and minusing and all sorts of stuff. It's my first words of wisdom on this. Please don't record, 6 months of podcasts, then go, okay, now that people are listening, maybe I'll see if I can get them to come up live. Because that is one of the things. You have to pick a time and you have to be there. That's one way of doing it. Now, here's how some other people are doing this. And that is, let's call them stars. For instance, Julian Michaels and Ice-T. Ice-T, the Final Level podcast. That's a hilarious podcast, by the way, if you ever listen to it. Definitely not work for safe, but pretty entertaining. Ice-T from whatever it is, SVU. Special Victims, something, cop killing, whatever, TV show. And I've seen Jillian Michaels do this on her Facebook page. She will say, we're recording podcast next Wednesday from X amount of time to X amount of time. Email the producer here with your phone number and your question. And then they call you and put you on the show and they just fit it in as a segment. And so that's one way to do it. Now, what does that do? Well, number one, you get to pick ahead of time who has the good question. And then number two, you're calling from a phone that's not your cell phone. Because in theory, you kind of want to keep your cell phone somewhat private. I've given people, like the phone number on the School of Podcasting at times will ring my cell phone. And I've had people call me at like 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday and want to talk podcasting because they're not in my time zone. But I'm like, it's Sunday, so I let that one go to voicemail. So there are times when you want to keep your phone number private. And so this is one of the ways you can do that. And then you can call them from Skype or something of that nature. So that's one way to do it. Just say, hey, if you'd like to do this, this is when I record the podcast. You have to be available. And, you know, this is one of those where you just call them back. So that's one way you call them. Another one is if you want them to call you, but hey, how do I do this without giving out my phone number? Well, you can get something like a Google Voice, and Google Voice is free. And then you basically point it at your cell phone. Now you're like, great, how do I get the caller into the recording? Well, you're going to need a mixer. And so you basically, what I would recommend in this case, get a cable that would be like an 1/8-inch jack on the on one side, basically like a headphone jack, and on the other end, a 1/4-inch jack. And I'll have links to these out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/456. They call your Google Voice. Google Voice transfers it to your cell phone. You answer the phone, and they are in channel 2. You are in channel 1. So here's the trick, though. You're still talking into your microphone so that the recording can hear you, and you just put the phone up to your ear and talk. So they're hearing you through your phone, and you're recording into the mixer, and that will either go to a portable recorder, which is what I recommend, or some other recording device, whether it be another computer, an iPad, whatever you're doing, you're recording that mix of you and your caller. Now, the good news about this, it's free and it's easy to control. Now, the bad news is there's no queue. Now, this is kind of jargon here. A queue is basically a line of callers. So you can see who's in the queue, who's waiting to get on air, shall we say. And also in this case, because it's transferring to your cell phone, your wife may call in the middle of the show. I'm just saying. So in reality, this is not a bad option if you really want people to call you. The lack of queue really is not an issue because, again, you may not have a lot of callers at first. So that is one way to do it. And we'll talk about how you stream live here at the end. We're just talking about how do I take a phone call. That's one way. Another one is a Skype in number. And speaking of podcasters group therapy, Nick Suberling explained to me how this is how he takes phone calls. Now, it's really weird on the Skype website. Have fun trying to find out how much a Skype in number is. I finally found an answer, but it was from 2013 in their forums that said it was $60 a year. Now here, the nice thing about it, again, you don't have to give out your phone number. And this is really handy if you have a co-host. So let's say the two of you are on Skype and you want to take calls. How do I make it easy for both of you to hear that caller? Well, get a Skype in number, and they just call a number and it goes into your Skype and you basically answer it or not. Now, what happens if somebody calls in while somebody's already on the line? It just rings and rings and rings and rings. So this is not a bad idea. If you have a co-host, it's an easy way to get everyone, you know, to where they can hear everyone. The bad news is adjusting sound levels, not a lot of control over this. So you're more than likely going to be acquainted with our good friends, the Levelator software, which is free for both the Mac and PC, or a little thing called Auphonic.com, which for the first 2 hours is free. But that's another way to do it. You can get a Skype in number, and then when you're on Skype, they call that number, it goes into your Skype, and you connect to them that way. Now, another one, this is a slightly inexpensive way to get, but I really want to call queue. I want to see who people are. I want to, you know, see how many people are on the line. And I have used callinstudio.com. Now, this one's different. It charges 3 cents per minute for every caller, including you. And you can limit the number of people who can call in at the same time. So I can say, look, only let two people. So maximum, there's 9 cents per minute on the phone because there would be two callers and you. Now, the phone number itself is $6 a month. And my most expensive show was around, I'm going to say $8, $9, meaning there were $2 worth of callers. And when I think about that, you yourself is going to, you're going to be $1.80 if it's an hour long show. It'd be 3 cents times 60 minutes is $1.80. So in a nutshell, though, because we're going to talk about Blog Talk Radio here in a second, you know, $8 an episode would be $32 a month if every show was like that. And I've had many a show where you'll get a caller or two, and those callers are maybe 3-4 minutes, not an hour. So Again, it's an alternative. Now, how do I connect to the caller? Well, here, you can use your smartphone and plug the phone into the mixer. Now, the bad news with that is you're going to be burning up your cell phone minutes. So this is where you could use Skype again. Call, because you can, if you have the right subscription, you can call phone numbers with Skype. So you could call into Call-In Studio. So your caller is calling into Call-In Studio. You're calling into Call-In Studio via Skype, and that's going into your mixer. And then the Call-In Studio actually has an interface. So you can see, you know, who's calling in, how many callers are in the queue, and it has all the big features that you would want in basically what they call, you ready for the more geek speak here, a phone bridge. And what it is you can have things like you could actually hire somebody to screen your calls. Now, again, you're going to pay 3 cents a minute for every minute that that person is on. So add another $1.80 for an hour long call. And the other thing you have to think about is when you start having, if it's just you and a phone caller in Call-In Studio, okay, but you have to be careful because sending the audio out of the computer that we have, you know, Skype on into a mixer and sending it back into the computer to record, that can actually be kind of the definition of feedback because you're feeding the sound of the computer back into the computer to record it. Now, there are some things you can tweak with that, but you are feeding the sound of the caller back into the computer, and that could be kind of a problem. And that's where you get into this another kind of geeky phrase called mix minus. Now, what this means is it sounds the you send the mix, which is you and the caller, back to the caller minus the sound of the caller. And this is where, in my opinion, a portable recorder comes in nicely because you can have the main output go to your portable recorder and this mix minus, mainly just you, sending just you to the caller, you can do that via a mixer with an auxiliary send. So the thing with when you get into adding more and more people and more items, so whether it's a co-host, whether it is a phone call, things like that, the more you add, every person kind of needs a mix minus. They need an auxiliary send is another way of saying that. So for me, for Ask the Podcast Coach, I have two auxiliary sends and a sub send. So I basically have almost three. And I almost need that because I have a co-host and I have a phone line. So I needed at least two auxiliary sends and I kind of end up with 2.5. So the nice thing about callinstudio.com is you have a call queue. You can, you know, see that. You can have a call screen if you wanted to. And if you wanted to, you can actually call people. You can actually call a guest right there from your computer. Now, the bad news is it's going to sound like a phone, right? So when people are calling in, they're calling in on a phone. Now, I had people call in from Skype who did the same thing I did. It sounded a little better, but a phone is going to sound like a phone. And like I said, you need an auxiliary send for everything you tie to the mixer. So if you have a co-host and callers, you need two auxiliary sends, one to send everything but the co-host and one to send everything but the caller to each of those respective people. Now, here's another one, Blog Talk Radio. Now, Blog Talk Radio is working hard on updating their system. They have been for a little while. They have a beta system right now that produces CD quality sound. That used to be the big thing about Blog Talk Radio and currently kind of still is. And that is their audio isn't very good. And I think probably in a few months, they're going to come out of this beta and I'm going to be really interested to see what they're going to charge for this new version. According to their website, you can use their free account and have up to 5 callers. And this may be the best solution for using their phone technology. Because while they've made great strides, I would not use them as my primary platform at this point. My biggest issue is if you use them as a primary platform per their terms and to their credit, their newly revised terms, which are much easier to read. If you're using their platform solely, you have to use their RSS feed. Okay. But there's no way to redirect it. Now they are aware that that's not the best thing. And that may be something they work at as well in the future. But right now, that's why I wouldn't say that's the platform. I might use them for their phone technology, record it, and then put it on another platform. But that, again, is going to add more cost. When I was playing with their free account, you can't schedule a show between 7 and 10:30 p.m. They call that, you know, the prime hours or something like that. And your shows are limited to 30 minutes. So it's free. If you ever want to kick the tire on that, you could. Now, for the record, Blog Talk Radio does make recording easy. But it sounds like a phone. And that is if you're using your phone to do that. And so when they get their beta finished, you'll be able to connect directly from your computer. And technically, you could call in via Skype to that. But depending on how it works. But here's the thing. It is $40 a month to do, and you can do a 2-hour show every day. But many people are not doing a show every day. They're doing a show once a week, twice a week. So you're spending a lot of money for that phone bridge. And you may not be using all the hosting that they're offering. You also get hosting. You also get, advertising impressions. And that's nice. So they're going to promote your show on their website. To me, I think I can find other ways to promote my show that would be less than the money I'm paying them. That's just my opinion. But you're kind of paying for lots of stuff that you don't need. And so I'll be really interested to see when their beta comes out, what their pricing options are, if they're just going to stay the same and say, look, our sound is better. We'll see. It'd be really interesting to see. So those are the ways you can get a phone into your line. Number one, get your audience to give them their phone number, and you will call them on some other phone. And that's where you could, again, if you use Google Voice, you can make calls from Google Voice as well and have it connect your cell phone to their phone, and they'll never see your actual phone. We said if you actually want to have people call you, you can get something like a Google Voice. You can also use podcastvoicemail.com and forward it to your phone if you're a little worried about Google, but Google's free. Podcast Voicemail is not. So podcastvoicemail.com. Google Voice is voice.google.com. The other one is Skype In Numbers. And the good news there is it's $60 a year, but there is no queue. But that's a good solution if you have a co-host. If you and a co-host are on Skype and you want to take phone calls, that's a good solution, a Skype In. We said if you want a call queue, there really are two options that I know of at this point. One is callinstudio.com. And the other one is Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, if you want unlimited calls and you can schedule calls whenever you want, it's $40 a month. With Call In Studio, I think my largest bill, like I said, was around $8 a week plus the $6. So, but most of my episodes were, you know, $2, $3, something like that. Wasn't anything crazy. So Call In Studio, again, much less expensive, does everything Blog Talk Radio does. Now, they're not a media host. They're just the phone. Where Blog Talk Radio can get a phone and they will host your media, but you're kind of tied to their system and you're probably going to want to build your own website. But how do people call in when they can't hear you? How do I stream live? Well, there are two platforms, three actually. One is Blog Talk Radio. And again, you know, not my favorite. I wouldn't use them as a platform. I would use them for their phone, but you can actually put a Blog Talk Radio player on your website, and they can actually, you can send your audience there and they can listen on your website. Blog Talk Radio does have a chat. Of the three companies I'm talking here, their chat is it's a little Fisher pricey, for lack of a better phrase. It's a little just, compared to the other three, it's just not. And the other two are Spreaker.com. Now, Spreaker, like Blog Talk Radio, is a media hosting company that allows you to go live, for lack of a better phrase. Now, Spreaker does not have a phone. And if they did, oh my God, would that be, you know, Rob Greenlee, if you're listening, that would be killer. Because they're a media provider. They do allow you to stream your show live. They have a cool player. It plays in everything. And they have a pretty cool chat. And for $20 a month, you can do a 3-hour show and store up to 500 hours. Now, that's basically about 9.6 years of storage if you do an hour a week. Obviously, if you do more shows per week and you do them longer, that's not going to last long. And I still want to know what happens. I guess at this point, from what I've understood, you have to pull shows down. So I'm assuming that would be your older shows And maybe you throw those behind a paywall and charge for them. I don't know. Because at that point, they're 9 years old. Again, if you're doing a weekly show. The other streaming service is Mixlr. Now, Mixlr is not meant to be a media host. And they make it super easy, though, to stream whatever you send to it. Whatever you send to your mic input on your computer, it streams it. So you could, you know, have your phone or whatever else is going into your mixer, and you send the output of the mixer into Mixlr. And this could be via a browser, could be via a smartphone. I should mention that as well. Spreaker has a great smartphone app and an iPhone app, and I believe it's both iOS and Android. Mixlr as well, I know, does iOS, and they do Android. So you can do this via browser on Spreaker. With Mixlr, you have to do it via an app, whether it's on a Mac or a PC or a smartphone. There are no real stats that you can kind of check on Mixlr. There are stats on Spreaker. There are stats on Blog Talk Radio. Spreaker, out of those, has the best, I would say, of those three. The interesting thing is, with Spreaker, they have a community out there. And as much as people talk about SoundCloud, you know, and all these people on SoundCloud, the community on Spreaker, I need to go back and double check. I would almost guarantee you I get more plays on Spreaker. And, you know, I don't really promote Spreaker to go listen. I say go to my website. But there are a lot of people listening, consuming podcasts on Spreaker. Now, not a ton. They're not like 50% of my audience, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were about 11 or 12. A lot of people over there at Spreaker playing stuff. And Spreaker is S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. And so Mixlr, there's no place I can log into my website and see stats. They do email me stats, but for the most part, not really stats. They do have a free version. Now, the quality is not quite as good if you're using the Mixlr. Now, Mixlr, I should mention, is mixlr.com. And the quality is not as good. But the cool thing is their premium plan starts at $10 a month. And they have, by far, the coolest chat out of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and Mixlr. And so it's kind of cool. Now, I've been using chatwing.com for my chat. That's completely free. And, you know, so you could take something like a Spreaker, or really, if I was using Spreaker or Mixlr, I would just use their chats. Those are fine. I need to really kick the tires on the Blog Talk Radio chat. I just know my first impression was kind of like, and I think it was Java based or something that just seemed like it was going to be, So for the record, let me clarify that. I haven't really tried the Blog Talk Radio chat. Just my first impression was not great, but probably in about sometime next month, I'm going to test drive that. But those are the ways if you want to take phone calls. And I'm going to say this again. If you don't have to do this, don't. When you may, you know, when you think about things like adding this and adding that, you want to ask yourself, do I really, really need to do this? You know, because the more you add, the better the chance you're going to be pushing into things that, you know, are going to require more of a learning curve, more things to go wrong. This past Saturday, just before Ask the Podcast Coach went live, I had to jiggle some cables to get it to work, you know. And sometimes, like I said, with my live show on Saturday, I started off, I think it was B, and I was actually testing Blog Talk Radio. And from there, I believe I went to Mixlr, and then I went to Spreaker, who I still use both those today. Oh, the other nice thing I forgot to mention, if you want to get on iHeartRadio, boy, I can't believe I didn't put this down. If you want to get on iHeartRadio, now it's not an automatic thing, but the only way to do that is through Spreaker.com. But I slowly added things. Then I added a co-host, Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Then later, we added phone calls. And then later, we added Google Plus Hangouts on Air. So we're actually doing a live video, audio, phone-in call. And I got to tell you, it's pretty much a nightmare every Saturday starting that thing. It's a little crazy. And I'm never really surprised if things go not the way I want them to, because a lot of things to break. So keep things simple. You know, to me, to just have a player from Spreaker or Mixlr on my website taking phone calls through whatever, you know, whether you want to use the Blog Talk Radio or call in studio, that would be cool. And I almost be tempted to turn off the chat because I have found that more people, it goes back to people being afraid to talk in public. I know on my Saturday show, more people ask questions via the chat than they do the phone. And it's cool. I appreciate the live feedback. I appreciate the interaction there. I love my chat room people. But I would be lying if I said I didn't wish they would call in instead, because it's a more intimate connection. So if you want to take phone calls, that would be my examples as of April 2015. Now, this next weekend is New Media Expo. And man, is that going to be fun? If you want to record live from the floor, it's a thing called Podcast Alley. Originally, it was closed. We're opening it back up. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastalley. And if it's closed, I will put a note there. But at this point, we're opening it back up. And the cool thing about this, you're going to have a stage. You're not going to be speaking. You're not going to be streaming live unless you have your own Spreaker or Blog Talk Radio account. But you can actually record there. Now think about this a second, okay? Number one, you have a stage. And only certain people are going to get on that stage. And your name is going to be right there, now appearing. Binky and the Wiz, right? Right there. So when people walk by, they're going to see, oh, look, it's Binky and the Wiz recording live. Just because you're on that stage, you're going to be seen as, wow, those guys must be good because they were allowed to speak live at New Media Expo. So I know originally when we did this, I didn't get a huge amount of response. And it's kind of interesting because I've had people say, I'm really nervous about talking live and having people hear me. And, you know, you heard today where I talked about, you know, I put that little funny little news thing in a couple weeks ago and I was about ready to wet my pants. I really didn't know how that was going to go over. I didn't know if it was funny, but I did it anyway. And I got a lot of really great feedback on that. It's not going to kill you to step out of your comfort zone. It's really not. And what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, maybe you say something and I don't know, it's stupid or silly or whatever. It's okay. That's actually a fun moment. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I saw Van Halen and first song out, called Romeo's Delight. David Lee Roth comes out. I forget the lyrics. What's the part? I ain't leaving. And he's supposed to say, we're in for a very long night. I think he said that. And then the next line, he's supposed to sing it. And he said, I forgot the words, man. And we all thought it was a hoot. And the crowd went, because I was there when David Lee Roth forgot the words. And I thought it was so cool until I saw him 3 years later. And he did it again. And I went, ah, crap, that shtick. He's doing shtick. That's not cool. So if you're interested, schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastalley. And also, you know what? I'm going to put this at the beginning of the show. I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, I'm looking for minions, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to need a few people to help me out at the show. There is no pay in this. I'm going to say that now. I'm not going to say it, that won't change later, but I want people who are willing to look for work for free. And what this is going to be, I'm going to need people to go around and make sure that speakers end on time. I'm going to need people to make sure that record buttons have been pressed. And if you want to be kind of on my team, it would be great. Let me know, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. And, cause I can only be in so many places at so many time. And, I've been that person in the past. I helped Cliff Ravenscraft when he was doing that. So if you'd like to help out, send me an email and I thank you in advance. So now if you're looking to start a podcast, well, hey, schoolofpodcasting.com is the place to go. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, all lowercase, and that will save you off your first month. And if you are don't even have a website, send me an email with the phrase quick start. I will send you a link to order your media hosting with a coupon code. Now, I earn a commission from that. You save from that. And Well, I made out on that because I made a commission. How do you make out? I give you a free month at the School of Podcasting, and I will set up WordPress for you. Now, for the record, if you do this next week, I'm going to be at the New Media Expo. So it might be the moderately fast quick start because I'll be at the mercy of hotel Wi-Fi, things like that. But we can definitely get you up and going. And if you're at the New Media Expo and you see me and somebody says, that's Dave Jackson, please, please, in the immortal words of James Brown, please come say hi. Shake my hand and just, you know, I want to meet you. And don't say, but I know you're busy. You're the director of it's okay. I will make time for you to say hello. I really want to see you. And it's going to be fun. I don't know what to expect. The whole fear of the unknown, man. National Association of Broadcasters is going to be, what's that going to do to the New Media? I don't know. Isn't that cool? I don't know. Looking forward to it. So have fun. Be safe. Wear comfortable shoes. Don't hesitate to reach out to anybody. And for you folks that are good networkers, keep your IOs open for the youngins, the newbies. And when they're kind of playing, you know, wallflower and they're just hanging there, go get them, pull them off the wall, get them into that conversation, make this one of the best conventions ever. Looking forward to it. And until next week, I believe there's going to be a show. I may be really a little tired, but I plan on putting one out. Class is dismissed. Take care and God bless. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you're new to the show, look, I help you manage your message and massage it. We tackle the technology. We flatten the learning curve. We get you on the road to podcast free. Oh, geez. How bad did I butcher this? One more time. Things like, you know, make sure that speakers are getting off on time. That doesn't sound right.